All right, today's podcast sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Stick around to the very end of the podcast. As soon as it is done, we're going to have a really, really, really interesting interview with one of the greatest scary dudes in film, actor Danny Trejo, after the closing jingle.
And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba. They have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind. So they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast, the podcast, the podcast.
La, la, la.
Big D and Bubba podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba podcast.
Your boy got loud, man.
That was something.
I'm not going to cut a toe off to save $300.
What now?
That was Larry, Big D's dad.
He was at, it was so deep it didn't register.
They were talking about some shoe insert, and he said he's not going to cut a toe off to save $300.
I'm not going to cut a toe off to save $300.
That is so your dad, man.
Very Larry thing to say.
We're sitting at the doctor's office, and he goes, you like these shoes? I'm like, no. He says, I had to buy, I didn't pay for them. Insurance paid for them, $300. They're special shoes. I could have got, no. It was, she had some. She had the shoes, but he didn't have, because they cut off one of her toes from diabetes. And what was that noise?
Oh, I think it's my computer.
Did Carson just get in on the Garth
Thank
tickets?
You for your patience. It's almost your turn.
Oh.
I didn't realize my speakers were on.
Okay, Carson's in. Well,
I like
you
the
leave it like
on.
That because you need to get your stuff.
Mm-hmm. Carson, it's your turn, redirecting you to pick your seats.
What? Are you going to get in?
I will see. These
Carson's
be
trying to get some last-minute Garth release tickets.
I'm not going to cut a toe off.
They're garbage.
Get some. What are you doing?
They're garbage.
The tickets aren't good?
Oh, hold on. I got to take a call.
Who is that?
What is that?
My brother's trying to get tickets. Hello.
Oh, okay.
Did you get better tickets than me? I posted a little thing while she's doing this. I posted a thing on socials just saying, hey, you know, if there's just to kind of start the podcast off, you know, if you have any questions, whatever. And I don't think people quite understood it. They're like, yeah, well, you're going to do live shows again, like the game nights. That was a very popular question. Yeah, yes, the game nights are going to return. Don't know when. We haven't even looked at venues or anything like that right now because venues are so crazy stacked. Everybody and their sister is out right now trying to tour, trying to make up money. Because
isn't everyone and their brother?
Well, I wanted to be different.
Okay.
And everybody's out trying to make up that money from a lost year. So
venues
right
that
now,
normally have 10 shows a month are currently trying to service 20 or more.
So it's pretty crazy.
There's not really a market for us to try to get this going right away.
In other words, we're priced out because we keep the tickets cheap and all that. And anyway, so as of right now, don't have anything planned. That is definitely on the way. Aaron says, I've never heard the story of why Bubba lived in Guam. Was he military or just moved there? I just moved there. I applied for a job. It was after high school. I was applying for jobs, trying to live somewhere cool and tropical. And I literally applied in Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands. And I was just looking for anywhere that would take me where I could live on the beach and do radio. And I got a call from Guam, like at 3 in the morning. Hey, you want to come work here? And I was like, yes, let's do it. So that's how that happened. And then
Carson,
did you
just buy two tickets, even if you don't like them.
Somebody wants
tickets.
Oh, I know, but I have tickets.
I know you do. I'm just saying, like, I'm sure that
Garth
somebody
is weird with reselling.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
you don't know that you can even give tickets
nope.
to somebody.
I can give tickets to someone if they like walk in with me.
Okay.
But yeah.
Oh, wow, Juan Carlos says, what's the end game for you guys?
Still on the
well, I am. I think it's some good stuff. Juan Carlos says, what's the end game for you guys? Where do you see yourself in 20 years? 20 years?
20 years?
Listen, in 20 years.
Are we going to be alive?
I'm talking about seven. What are you talking
Bubba's
about?
Bubba's talking about the Yellowstone caldera.
The caldera's going to blow up. We're due any day now.
No, we're not.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
no, we're not.
20 years, I will still be doing something on the radio. I don't know if Big D will. Because he's pretty much, I think he's got 3 good years left in him, and then he's ready to walk away.
Oh,
No.
Thanks for giving me that timeline.
No, we're good.
Just for all of our advertisers and business partners, Bubba's full of it. Listen to Bubba.
I am very full of it. But, I don't know. I love what I do. I could do this until the day I die. And whether that's 20 years from now or 50 years from now, I'm totally down I would never. Like, vacation is a reminder that I will not be a good retiree. I do not like vacation at all because I feel like I'm missing out.
Yeah, most of that is in your head, though. You tell yourself that you don't like it, so you don't like it.
No, I like coming to work. I like work better than vacation. I come back from vacation. First of all, I'm broke and I'm tired because I've done nothing but road trip everywhere. Work is much more fun. We come in every day and we goof off and we have great guests and fascinating people. And we get to talk to our 17 listeners on the phone. And yeah, work is great, man.
Let's go to Carson now with a Garth update.
I don't know. I think I found like 4 tickets in one of the 100 section. I'm going to see if I can get my hands on
those. What does that mean?
Those.
Where were you before? What section?
They're handicap seats. I can't take that.
What? Yeah, you can. Just
no, you
limp.
Can't. Yeah. I did that once. I accidentally bought handicap seats.
You can't do that, man.
And I showed up and I went like, oops.
So what happens? What happens at
Nobody
that point?
Nobody checked. They let me sit there.
Oh, you sat in that one chair with like the two spaces on the side of it?
No, it was just there was extra leg room.
Oh.
I think it was just in case they had to put a wheelchair there. But yeah, I was a terrible human being. But I didn't realize it when I bought it.
You can rent wheelchairs for pretty cheap.
That's some Disney hacks right there.
Disney hacks.
Dude, when we were at Disney, I contemplated because my feet were just shredded from walking. I mean, you're walking 15 miles
a
day.
And
when you go from walking 4,000 steps a day to, you know, almost 30,000 steps a day, it's a big change and your feet are not ready for it. And by day 3, I'm like, you know, I could be that guy. I could be that guy that rents one of these little rascals that people are riding around with, and they've got their little horn.
I don't think that should be allowed.
What, the horn?
Yeah, if you're in Disney and you're on a rascal, like, congratulations, you just won front of the line everything, so you don't get to beep at people to move faster.
Oh, they do. They do. They're terrible people.
So where are you at? You're looking at, there's 1,000 seats that opened up for Garth Nashville show.
There's a couple in the 300s.
A crupple, okay.
A crupple.
And you're going to see Garth already. You've got tickets for how many shows?
Only this one, for Nashville, yeah.
That's weird. You usually have tickets for like 6 or 7 shows around
because
the country.
Because I'm dumb and couldn't figure out time zones to get into Boston this morning. So I logged in half an hour late.
Oh, no.
And I was like, I'm not going to Gillette to hang out in the 400s.
Oh my gosh, not the 400s. God forbid. Oh. In the 400s.
With the peasants. The people who haven't been to 400 of his shows already.
We don't say peasants, D.
Oh.
Well, that's
peasants. Serfs?
No, we say the gen. Serfs. Do we say it?
Serfs.
Gen pop?
Do we say gen pop?
What's like, gen like pop? General population.
That's what they say in prison when they release you from.
Oh, gen pop. You don't hang out with gen pop.
We don't go with the gen pop. Yeah. Listen, a friend of ours came up with that term. We were at an event one time where we thought it was all music industry people. And when we got there, it was just a normal concert with like 1,000 actual, you know, normal people there. Yeah.
Normal.
And she goes, gen pop. I didn't know we were just going to be stuck in the gen pop. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's the worst and best thing I've ever
best
heard.
Thing.
So we use that phrase sometimes.
Gin pop.
The gin pop's great.
And listen, I have no problem being out in the gin pop. I just like to know that's what it is. That was the specific thing with that one concert.
Why?
It's a whole different vibe.
I would rather be with the gin pop. When I go to concerts, I don't like being around the radio industry people and record industry people are so jaded and they just sit at the concert like this. They just sit there.
You're not wrong.
Every once in a while, you have somebody who just does this, and they dance like they're the gopher from Caddyshack. They just do that, and they're like,
"No." My favorite thing when you're in any kind of music industry thing, especially small listening events, as opposed to like live music, but where they're playing new music, is what we call the Nashville head bob, where everyone they feel like they have to show you that they're into it, so they get this real. Yeah, and they bob their head real serious. Oh, yeah,
they do that whenever they're doing like album listening things. It's the worst.
You know, I mean, I'm talking like four people sitting in an office listening to a new record, and they feel like they have to show you that they're paying attention or that they like it. So they bob the head.
The other problem with being in Gen Pop, and again, I'm a dork fan too, but I'm a pretty nice dork fan. Patrick and I went to a show once, and we got to see Keith Urban in a very small area.
Oh, yeah.
And we had gotten there early, and so we were able to be up at the front of the stage, and some fan of his all night long kept bothering us, going, something about she's blind. I mean, I didn't see a cane. She has problems with her legs. And what she was trying to do is get us to move.
She was angry with us because we were in front of her in a crowd.
And well, she
that's
was
what
so
happens when
mad.
You're general admission. You're going to get stuck with the crowd.
Right. But this was, but it would never occur to me to go yell at other fans to get out of
Carson's
my way.
Carson's not selling it right. This lady was mean.
Yeah.
This lady was downright mean and rude to us all night.
And of course,
I gave her my spot and just went.
Yeah, I stand my ground. Yeah, so suddenly, I'm doing like I'm man spreading all over the place. Like, I mean, my legs are only like 20 inches long. I don't care. I was about to do a full straddle, so she couldn't be around me. I was like, nope. Mm-mm.
I can appreciate that. I, you know, if you're doing something where it's first come, first serve, that kind of stuff.
That was it. We were there early.
Yeah. You know what? You want to get a good spot? Get there early.
Did you get seats yet, Carson?
No, they're all singles.
They're all singles.
Yeah, they're all singles at this point. There's a couple, again, up in the 300s if you want to sit there. That
That's
are
the
like
worst,
three
too, is whenever people, if you're buying concert tickets, you know, especially to like a Garth Brooks show or something that you know is going to sell out, you know, you got Kojo playing or something.
Yeah.
Don't leave a seat between you and the other person. I mean,
Ticketmaster won't let you anymore.
Oh, really? They stopped doing that?
Oh, it's a whole thing. So you go to buy two tickets, and let's say there's three in a row, and they're like, sorry, you can't leave a ticket. Well, the point is somebody else left that ticket. That's why there's a group of three and not two. So here's a hack between me and you.
Okay.
So what you do is you open Ticketmaster, another browser, but you don't sign in. And you click on that one seat that you don't want. It'll take it out of play. And then you buy the two that you want, and then you shut the browser and it's back
in. Look at Carson with deep fake, man.
Well, you just gave it up now because now Ticketmaster knows how to rewrite their code.
Okay, a bunch have just opened now. Hold on.
Really? More tickets?
Yeah. There's like an entire row that just opened.
Hey. Is it a good row? What
you
want?
300s. Nope. Not what I'm looking for here.
That's Gen Pop.
But all right, it gives me hope. Gives me hope.
I'm learning, though, about this whole Gen Pop thing and... You know, I mean, normally, like when they give us tickets for concerts, you would think, oh, they're going to give the radio people front row. They don't at all. We have to sit with Gen Pop.
No, because when we get tickets, we are usually in a group, like there's a section and you can spot it. So if you're in a show, especially in Nashville, where there's lots of music industry people, not just radio people, but agents, managers, publishers,
lawyers,
everybody that works in the music industry, that they all want tickets to say a, you know, a Luke Combs show, just off the top of my head. Okay. So there's probably 100 tickets that are allotted or more, 200, 300 tickets just for those people so they because it's their hometown, so they can go see them. Mm. You can almost always spot the section they're in because it's going to be in the lower bowl, not on the floor, and all those people will be sitting down. The vast majority of them will be sitting down. Yeah. Which is fine. It's not to say, look, I sit down there during a concert unless I have to stand. And that doesn't mean I don't like the concert, but I've been to 3,000 concerts. I prefer to sit, and I am fat and old. So I prefer chair.
That sounds like an overstatement, but I think you've actually been to more than 3,000.
No, I estimated at one time that if I've been doing this for 20 years, that's 1,000 weeks. Give or take, it's actually more than that, say 1,100 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And I go to about 2 to 3 concerts a week. So on average, before the pandemic. So up until the pandemic, I was doing about 3 concerts a week.
If you count
small industry shows, if you count where I go and see,
like,
you know,
private concerts.
Yeah,
even.
Here's Chris Young. He's going to sing 3 songs for us. Yeah, that counts. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, so... That kind of stuff included. I've been
but
probably.
Why do you go to that?
Shows.
Like, Chris comes in all the time and plays. Hang on a second. He comes in and he plays here all the time. So why would you go?
Because I want to hear the new stuff and I want to be around. I know everyone in that room. This is my socializing.
There's also free alcohol.
There's also free alcohol and food.
We know Patrick.
A lot of the time. It's not always, but that's when you know it's a good shindig.
I always thought it was also
free alcohol.
I always thought it was so you could represent us and be there as a representative.
That's what I mean when I say the people in the room. I know everyone in that room. Their manager, their publicist, the guys from the record label. That's how we all, you know, socialize
network
with those people.
And that's how they all know Five Whiskey Patrick.
That's how they all know Five Whiskey Patrick. That happens. So that happened that time. You know, I
what's the drunkest you've ever been in it's under our name of a company?
It's not even hard. I know exactly when it was. Carson wasn't even working.
Agreeing.
Were you even working here then?
No, but I heard this story last week.
Yeah, she knows it.
This Eric is making Church. The round?
Eric Church 2015, mm-hmm. maybe? Yeah.
Yeah, that's
I was in. I had been 3 hours away playing in a poker tournament. It was on a Saturday. And so I got back in town just in time to go to the show at 7 o'clock. I did not eat dinner because usually at these it was a pre-party. Before, in other words, it was a party before the concert starts. Usually at those parties, there's food and drinks. Sometimes, though, there's only drinks. This was one of those times where there was no food. So I didn't eat dinner. I didn't eat lunch because you know me. I'm in a poker room all day. I didn't eat breakfast or lunch. I haven't eaten all day. I get to the Eric Church concert. I have had no food. And they had really good whiskey. Eric Church is sponsored by Jack Daniels. So there was, it was like, do you want Jack Daniels or would you like Gentleman Jack or would you like Single Barrel Select? Excuse me? Did you ask me that question? You put the Single Barrel Select in my glass, lady, and give me another one just for measure. And so I had 13
glasses.
Oh, yeah, man. Because here's the problem. Every time somebody would go to the bar, they would get an extra one and bring it back to me. So like, you want another one? Sure.
13 Whiskey Patrick.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Five Whiskey
this
Patrick
is, where
is legendary.
Five Whiskey 13? Patrick got his name because Five Whiskey Patrick comes from a cautionary tale about 10 Whiskey Patrick. Okay? Because 10 Whiskey Patrick is still a great dude and a lot of fun, but 10 Whiskey Patrick has no volume control.
No,
and
we'll
go up. So I went up to one of my friends, and no filter, and I was standing next to her about as far as I am away from D, from this other girl at the party. And I said to my friend Amber, I went, isn't that girl you hate? At about that volume.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's, mm-hmm. And so she reminded me of that incessantly. But also, I may have passed out during the concert. Mm. I was in my seat, so nobody knew. It looked like I was taking a nap. It was fine.
Yeah, that's even better.
Yeah.
I came to Eric Church and fell asleep.
Just for a song, maybe song and a half. It was fine. I was totally back in it by the time he got to the
it's
encore.
Fine. It was a slow one.
Oh, yeah.
Talladega's long.
It's long, man. I was asleep. It's good.
Where are you at, Carson? Did you get tickets?
No, still looking, but there ones are popping here and there, but I'm not really seeing
I'm surprised.
Anything.
There's only 1,000 available, right? I'm surprised they're lasting this long.
They're saying that, but I see more that keep kind of just showing up out of nowhere. So
they're just dropping
they're
them in, trying to see.
Yeah, what anybody's going to take. It's a fishing expedition, man.
Oh, you while really, she's you doing really that, nodded this works.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. While she's doing that, I'll tell you the one time I feel like I probably did embarrass us all, or you all.
Do we want to hear this?
Yeah, what is this?
No, I mean, I don't think I've ever told this story.
Oh, God.
Oh, boy. Confession.
I was having, like, real problems with my back. This was, this is like 7 years ago, right after we started the company. And I went to a Rascal Flatts concert. And there was supposed to be a reception beforehand. And I had, first of all, I had just gotten these prescription painkillers and muscle relaxers. And I didn't realize I wasn't supposed to take them at the same time. Like, I know I'm not the only person who's ever done that. But this is the only time I know that I did it. You take two pills, and then you read the thing that says, don't take these together.
Uh-oh. Yeah, too late.
Too late. And then it said, you know, and also, you really need to take these with food. And I was like, oh, I haven't eaten anything in, like, 6 hours. Well, we're going to the Rascal Flatts thing. There'll be food. There was no food. And I was in there. There were no drinks either. There was no, so I wasn't drunk. But I had taken these two pills together that I was not supposed to take. I don't remember what happened. But,
wow.
But I talked to a lot of people.
You roofied yourself.
I did. So Katie, our business manager, was with me. And she told me that I talked to at least three people and called them by somebody else's name. That was just the ones that she knew of. I'm like, oh, great. So I don't know who those people were, and I don't know who I thought they were, and I don't know what I, you know, she said it wasn't like I said anything bad. It was just like I obviously, it sounded like I didn't know who I was talking to because I was talking to people and talking to them like they were somebody else.
And you know everybody's name.
And I know everybody's name. Well, I don't know everybody's name, but if I don't, I'm really good at faking it.
And learning.
And learning and figuring it out. But, yeah, that's not my best moment because I can't tell you what happened. I was
I thought you were totally out. I thought you were going to say the Jamaica story.
Now, the Jamaica story, you know.
Did you pass out in the jacuzzi?
No. The Jamaica story is that I might have taken a Valium or a Xanax and then later that and not eaten anything. Again, this is usually a recurring theme. And then I might have had a few whiskeys and then I was just useless.
Took a Xanax because of flying.
Yeah, to fly. Fearful. I can't.
He's not a I don't pill popper. Yeah, so. Are you?
But no, I only take Xanax when I fly. That's it. Mm. But
How do you have that?
But there weren't that many people around. That,
like, I don't even take Tylenol. Like, I don't take aspirin.
You know, go to the doctor and say, like, I'm terrified of getting on this airplane, and I didn't used to be. And she's like, it happens. Here's four Xanax, you know.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Okay, so I would like to give you an update.
Oh, please.
That I have found four lower bowl tickets. I was currently in the 200s. Now I've got tickets in the 100s.
What? Whoa. How are there open tickets in the 100s?
Because they're just popping.
Buy them.
I'm thinking I'm going to buy them just in case. I know somebody will want them.
Buy all four of them. What are you talking about?
That's what I'm doing.
So what if they pop up with another pair in the hundreds but closer?
I'll buy those, and then I'll see if anybody wants these.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Very resourceful.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
How much is the total?
$384. It's less than $100
$3 bucks a ticket. $3.84?
Yes, that's exactly what I yes, that's what I meant. Where's my secure need about folder?
How many tickets?
Four. Yeah, so it's not, it's not terrible. I mean, honestly, $384 for, like, four Garth tickets. I've paid more than that for one ticket.
And what is your estimate that you spend on concert tickets every year?
I have no idea. I just got a new credit card, though, where they give me 3% cash back for my concert ticket orders.
What? Yeah. Oh, they have that?
They're going to lose on that one.
Specific to concert tickets?
Yep. They sure do.
You're going to pay it off as it comes in. Don't let it sit on there. Because if you pay it off.
I get 0% APR for the first 18 months. So I can let it roll for a couple. But no, I just paid off one credit card yesterday. This one will get paid off.
They're going to lose money on you on that one.
That's the idea. Place order. All right, we're going to try this one.
Did it work?
Let's see. I don't know. Truck needs Ticketmaster.
I hear the guy, like the old-timey movie guy.
Oh, because I didn't say I wanted insurance.
And Carson steps up to the plate. She's there. We've got her in the queue. It looks like she's got four nice Garth tickets in the lower bowl, but you never know. Ticketmaster can be shady. So here she goes now. She's going to try for it. She's going to hit the old return button, and it's refreshing.
Hold on. Capital One wants to make sure I really want to make this purchase.
Yes, Capital One doesn't know if she's really Carson. So
how
here we go.
You not know me, Capital
we
One.
We found a snag in the system.
Let me see. Enter my code.
This is so exciting.
This really is exciting.
I can't believe anyone's actually listening to
this. I know.
This.
I'm sorry about that, folks. Because
this is, but you
sit
know,
sit tight. We're securing your verified tickets.
They know. They know what it's like because they've sat in those queues.
Yeah,
too.
We've all done it, right? Yeah.
Not me.
This is the part. This is the part that everyone
you
hates.
Got
you're
them.
Sitting in the queue. And it's gone.
Let the anticipation begin. You're sitting in section 143, row FF.
Four Garth
so
Brooks
this
tickets.
Is the last time I actually.
Now we're going back to the tickets to look for more.
The last time I went and bought tickets like on Ticketmaster was when Prince was doing a show.
Oh,
that'll
and
tell
he
you how
did.
Long it's been. Yeah, he's been dead for a while.
He did.
I buy tickets a lot, but I learned the other day that I buy tickets and I cheat and I call people I know and go, hey, can you sell me some tickets? Because
I know Carson's got a couple.
Well, yeah. I wish with Garth would sell me some tickets, but I'm not going to make that call because I'm scared they'll say no.
Yeah.
And that's awkward. Join the queue. I've already been
we
in
We used
the
to
queue.
Have like a really good friend that worked for Garth, but he don't work anymore.
Yeah. He never got me my box set either.
What? Look at that.
I had a special number picked out.
I remember that.
Such a weird world we live in. Think about that. Like, so strange.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
So you're going to back in to get more?
Yeah. What the heck?
And you're going to just...
So there's no limit?
No, I don't... you can buy 8 tickets at a time. But, like, what are they going to do?
So you're back in, and you're just going to keep
refreshing.
There's one
person ahead of me in the queue.
So you're going to just keep refreshing, hoping you can get closer to the stage each and every time.
Yeah.
What do you do with the old tickets? You said give them away or sell them?
Yeah, somebody will want them. It's
and,
Garth
but they
Brooks.
Have to go with you to the show.
Yeah.
But I mean, somebody we know
I think technically I can
want.
Transfer them, but
yeah.
Yeah, it's again, somebody will do it. It's fine.
It's Garth Brooks, man.
Right, yeah. Like, who's going to be like, no, I don't want Garth tickets. Much like James Vanderbeek, they don't want my life.
I don't want your tickets.
I don't want your guard tickets.
That's crazy.
I just keep thinking, what if it rains? I don't want to. I did that, actually.
Is it an outdoor thing?
Then we dance in the rain and listen to the thunder roll.
I went to Luke Combs at the Wharf in Orange Beach, and it poured down rain. And we stayed there because we kind of knew it was going to rain. So we're all in beach clothes anyway. And we all put our wallets and cell phones and watches and stuff in a Ziploc bag and just sat there in the pouring down rain for 2 hours.
Yeah.
Watched, which was fun, but I don't want to do it again.
Were you wearing a shirt?
Yes, I was. Yeah. So it's not the best.
And it stuck to you?
First of all, of course I was wearing a shirt.
Was it a white shirt?
Oh, but like all of my, like my niece's husband, Phil, who's a cop, you know, he took his shirt off. My cousin Foster, he took his shirt off. They're all like young and, you know,
in
good shape. You know, my other niece's boyfriend took his shirt off, and I'm sitting there fat with my wet T-shirt clinging to my man boobies.
Well, how about when you get out of the pool, the first time you get
out? You have to.
And you kind of pull it, and it makes that weird noise.
And then you end up with that bubble right between your boo-boos.
Yeah. You pull it on the stomach so that the bubble's not on your boo-boos.
The bubble right there. It's right below your boo-boos and your belly.
You gotta pull it from the bottom, man. You gotta get practiced.
Yeah.
Yeah,
man, you know what? Just take the shirt off. Nobody cares.
Let me tell you who cares. I care.
Yeah, you care.
Let me tell you what else.
I also care. I care that you're...
I'm doing this. I'm wearing this shirt to protect you and your children.
Yeah,
okay? But also... This is a lot of surface area,
yeah,
and that's a lot of sun drawn to a very white person.
If you were in the rain, though.
Oh, no, I'm talking about I'm not taking my shirt off in the rain at a Luke Combs show.
Why not?
Oh, man. You know how at a football game they always find the fattest, doofiest-looking guy with his shirt off? You know why? Because he's easy to spot. I'm going to be on everybody's Instagram story. Yeah. Look at his fat dude dancing with his man boobs out at the Luke Combs show.
A henna tattoo of whatever artist you're going to see. Like for Garth, you do a henna tattoo of Garth's face on your belly. And then if it rains, you pull the shirt off and you're like, they'll be zooming in on your belly. It'll be big time.
Yeah, that's what I want.
And then you're going to have sad Garth running down your stomach. He's melting.
He's melting, Garth. Yeah, no, that's not good. I'm not into that.
All right, section 142 just popped.
What were you before?
143.
What, is that like
you
better?
Wouldn't
is that
go up one row, would you?
No, because it was further behind the row. I'm row FF. These are JJ.
So, yeah.
So where are you at in the stadium?
Technically, I'm on the side of the stage toward the back. But he plays in the round, so he comes to the back enough. Like he makes his rounds during I think two of a kind is when he starts making the rounds. Yeah, I know the choreography.
What a nerd.
He knows all of that.
Jeez.
Oh, you know what came yesterday?
Does he still do unanswered prayers where he doesn't sing it?
Oh yeah, stick it in.
See, that's the worst. That's
same.
I've told Garth, I'm like, dude, please sing your song. One of my favorite songs from Garth is Unanswered Prayers, and I don't think I've heard him ever sing it live in my entire life.
He starts it
because he goes and he just puts it out. And he puts the microphone out and holds it out to the crowd, and they sing it back to him. And every single time, he goes, "Oh shucks, you're singing my song."
Preach on, Bubba.
And he just does it over and over. And I'm like, "God, dog, dude, just sing your song." I paid money. How much do you pay? $200 a ticket, basically, or $100 a ticket.
$100
a ticket. I didn't come here to hear Patrick sing. I didn't come here to see the people around me sing. I came to hear you, Garth Brooks. Yes, it's great. Oh, you should be flattered. They're singing your song. But as soon as they're done, you say, okay, y'all were great, but y'all paid to see me, so it's my turn. And you just sing your own song.
Yeah.
And it's like he lets the audience finish the dance.
And that goes to every artist.
Yeah.
Every artist. Fair. Don't let the crowd sing.
No.
If you let them sing your song, you take over and you say, okay, that's cute. Y'all are awesome. But you paid to see me. So I'm going to throw this out there. This is me.
All right.
And to anyone from Garth Brooks' camp who actually sees or hears this, my bad. I'm sorry.
Bubba. What? I love Garth. And also, I want to hear Garth.
I think we've established my fandom in full. So that I'm sitting here like, just anybody who might want tickets, section 101 is open, row AH, two seats. I need four, so this is a little bit more tricky for me.
Somebody on vacation, one of my family members asked Vivica what was my favorite story about Vivica not knowing country music people. Because she has no idea. My favorite is still when we first started dating and I took her to see Garth Brooks. It's like our sixth or seventh date. And there's a pre-party. So the party before the concert. And Garth and Trisha walk in. And my now wife taps me on the shoulder and goes, hey, isn't that Garth Brooks? And I said, you know what, Vivica? You're the only person in this entire stadium who's not sure.
Yeah.
Like she you, had to, only, you had to 100%. Had to like he walked in the room and she thought that might be him. Like everyone else was certain.
She's like, hey, was, hey,
isn't that him?
Yes. Isn't that your guy?
Kudos to her that she kind of knew.
Yeah, just look at Carson. She's hyperventilating. There's proof positive. Such facts.
That's my favorite. My second favorite is when she didn't know Dustin Lynch was a singer. And another friend of ours was standing nearby. When he walked away after talking to us, she goes, is he a singer? And she goes, our friend said, oh, sweetie, when they're that good looking and they're wearing a cowboy hat, they're singers. I was like, oh, that's pretty good.
Facts.
By the way, today, go listen to the new Dustin Lynch song he just put out. He just put out today. Not all cowboys.
Have we heard it?
No, you haven't heard it. Why it's literally brand new. Like
it just came out.
Where you at, Dustin? Come on, brother.
Not every cowboy.
All right, I'll check it out.
It's good.
So good. I hope that's the next single. It's a whole different change in style and like
What's he doing? Still Dustin,
but it's like it's a cowboy song about.
Yeah.
It's good, man.
Like a
cowboy
song
about staying.
About staying, about how not every cowboy leaves. Oh, it's so good, man. It's country.
Good. You know, it's funny because I was talking with somebody recently, and they were talking to, I'm not going to name drop, but they were talking about how in 2020 they've written more country songs than they've ever written in their life. And they're an artist. And I said, really? And he was like, yeah. He goes, during the whole thing, he was like, normally what we do when we get together is we do like the click tracks and the snaps and all that kind of stuff to keep the time. And we kind of, as we're writing the song, we build it on the computer. And he's like, we didn't do that this way because everybody's computers were their Zoom calls. So we wrote acoustic country songs again. And he said, you're going to see over the next year or so a lot of guitar and piano driven country songs coming back.
Music, I love God to hear forbid. That. How about country music, guys? Can we get some of that?
Well, it looks like we're going to.
I have to go.
Okay.
I'm driving and
you're going
to
gamble?
Traffic. I'm going to play poker.
It's
going to
rain all weekend. I want to take the car out, so I want to get out too.
I'm busy doing firefighters, though. I have no plans, none whatsoever.
Fancy.
I am going to give blood here in about an hour.
Nice.
Yeah, so you guys should all give blood. I want to suggest this. Please, if you get a chance while you're watching the podcast on YouTube, go ahead and click the like button, subscribe, the bell, the whole thing. If you're listening on a podcast app, give us a 5-star rating because those kind of stuff are good for podcasters. You know, it lets people grow it. So, you know, little ratings and stars and pluses and all the ding-dongs, those things are always great.
The ding-dongs.
Well, you know, on everything,
please click
different.
On the ding-dongs.
Sometimes they're stars. Sometimes they're thumbs up. Sometimes they're whatever.
Give us the good ratings if you think about it, please.
Yeah, we would love that. And once again, we would love to thank our podcast sponsor, O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. We love O'Reilly with all of our hearts, right? All of our hearts.
All of them. Thank you.
Have a good one. And for those of you listening on an app, stick around because right after the closing jingle, Danny Trejo is going to be our guest.
Man.
Oh, I got to close the thing, don't I?
This was the podcast, but now it's over. That's okay, because you can listen to the regular show on the radio. Every day.
Isn't that Garth Brooks?
It was the podcast.
Is that Garth Brooks?
I'm not going to cut a dog to save $300.
The one and only Danny Trejo. What's up, man?
Hey, Diaz, Bubba in the house. What's up?
Man, we're so pumped. Glad to have you on, man. We're big fans. And
thank you, man.
Like physically, and we're actually big fans.
Yeah, we're big fans. One of the questions, I just want to get right into it. Like you've made a living on these character actors looking the way you look, and
what? How does he look?
Mean. You look so intimidating and mean. But when you go out and you are like, you don't want to be that way. Do you have to like over smile?
Eddie Bunker, who was my mentor as far as the movies go, and I knew him, San Quentin, and he actually got me in the movies. He's the one that said, Danny, you have to disarm people immediately because, you know, everywhere you go, and he walks with me, right? And he was one of the meanest looking white dudes you've ever seen in your life. Right? He talked. when he said hello, it sounded like he said, "Want to rob a bank?"
Yeah.
The way he was. And he said, "You have to disarm people before," because we would go somewhere and immediately you watch guys kind of puff up their chest. You know, it's like, because of the way I could be on the corner with 20 Mexicans and cops would pull up and go, "Hey, you come here."
Yeah.
And "Hey, come on, there's 19 other suckers here."
You know? Yeah.
But it's just, you know, God bless me with this face.
Yeah, man, it's made you. It's made a career for you, and not only that, but I mean, you're a natural actor. I mean, like we always talk about how you look and me, but man, you gotta have chops.
The first time I remember seeing you walk on the screen, I went, "Oh my gosh, that is the meanest looking man I've ever seen in my life," and that was in Desperado, and I was like, "This guy is going to kill all the good people."
But
I never said a word.
Nope.
Didn't have to.
I said, Robert, give me a line. Robert Rodriguez said, "Danny, you can say more with a look than most actors can say with a page of dialogue."
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think, now, is that a compliment or is he just saying that, so I'll shut up?
No, it's totally a compliment. Because, again, over the years, we've gotten to see you actually say words and do lines and do all the other stuff. So, I mean, everybody knows now that you are actually a very good actor. And you can do a lot of stuff. I mean, you can go from the real serious stuff to the ridiculous six. I mean, you've done everything.
Me and Nick Nolte, we're sitting in a tent, right, on the Ridiculous Six. And these youngsters come in and go, "Hey, aren't you guys going to retire?" And Nick Nolte says, "Hey, retire from what? We're playing cowboys with Adam Sandler."
Yeah.
Yeah. Why would you want to stop doing this?
Exactly.
I'll play old grandpa.
So we want to talk about your book. Obviously, there's a lot of stuff in there. You talk about Charles Manson. In the book, you talk about San Quentin and all that kind of stuff. We're going to come right back. Danny Trejo, one of the coolest people on the planet. Dude walks his dogs with a smile and yet will scare the heck out of you on the screen. We'll come right back with Danny Trejo. Hang on.
The one and only actor Danny Trejo is with us. The book is called My Life of Crime, Redemption, and in Hollywood. It's a book. It's available now. Bubba mentioned earlier about
Charles Manson in jail. And
what's that about?
Well, you know what? People, the guy you saw on television, okay? The guy you saw in Vacaville State Medlock, the guy you saw in prison, that wasn't the Charles Manson that I saw. I saw a skinny kid, hippie, that people were trying to take advantage of, and we protected him because he could hypnotize you.
Wait a minute. You're saying that you protected Charles Manson from anyone else who was trying to mess with him in jail?
Again, you got a different impression of him. Just, you saw him when he was in protective custody for years. He wasn't in population. And when I met him in the 60s, he was a little hippie.
So
that's kind of like the way the Beach Boys talked about that. He was very charismatic and made people fall in love with him and follow him. And that's kind of what you're saying.
Yeah. And you know, he could hypnotize you. We had him just loaded on weed and we got loaded on weed. Then I said, "Get me loaded on heroin." So he tried to, he got two of us loaded on heroin. One guy couldn't get loaded because he had never been loaded on weed. I loaded on heroin. And then I asked him, I said, "Hey, so what? What is it? The mind? If the mind knows how to react, I can hypnotize you. But if you've never done that, you know, that's how come." It's like, you know, he could have never done what he did any other place. He couldn't have gone to a neighborhood of color and get some girls to, "Hey, I want you guys to go kill these guys." He goes, "Screw you."
Yeah.
David turned him out. And so, you know, it was like that happened the right time, the right place. He got a bunch of broken little girls that were being abused by the pimps up in Oakland and San Francisco. And George Perry, my friend, he knew all those girls because he was from Haight-Ashbury. And so he knew, and he was, they were just broken little brats. And so Charlie couldn't have done that with, you know, the Mexican chicks out of East L.A.
Yeah, so he kind of became a father figure for these broken people, exactly. And they would do anything for him.
Exactly. And you've got to remember, when you're loaded on drugs, when you're hooked on drugs, you'll do anything for the connection.
Yeah.
The book has got a lot of stuff, and I love how that you did the prison stuff. You made mistakes, and then you turned your life around and became the star, and you're able to help other people. It's a real triumph story, and what a life. The book is called My Life of Crime, Redemption, and Hollywood by Danny Trejo. And Danny, we appreciate it. By the way, you do have some country cred because you're in San Quentin. That's where Merle Haggard was, man.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
They used to play down in the lower yard. Because we'd have a big...
Wait, Danny Trejo, are you telling me that you would see Merle Haggard in prison playing in the yard?
Well, you know, Folsom has two radio stations. One that would go, and they would play jazz, rock and roll, and then one that just stayed on country. We listened to a lot of country. I fall to pieces.
This is I'm telling you, I am so excited about this book. Also excited about American Horror Stories because Danny Trejo is going to play Santa.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, dude. Jeez.
That's a good one.
Danny, thanks, man. Hey, pick up the book, y'all. It's called My Life of Crime, Redemption in Hollywood. You will definitely not regret it. Danny Trejo, the one and only.
Thank you. God bless you.
Thanks, Danny. Bye. See you. Bye-bye.